Good morning, Texas. It's a joy for me to welcome you to my Cup of Goodness morning program, my purpose being to talk about the goodness of God. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I hope you have your Bible, a piece of note paper or two, and a sharp pencil ready. And if you would like, your morning cup of Java or juice, or even a glass of good old clean H2O. This is what I call a no-spin zone for Bible study, where you will hear straightforward teaching from a King James 1611 Bible, rightly divided, of course, based on Paul's writings, not based on verse-to-verse comparisons, according to whatever school one has graduated from, or based around any specific denomination or Bible institute, or even from any popular pastor or radio personality. It's always my desire to speak with plainness of speech, with no flatteries, not with wisdom of man's words and fair speeches, and of course there will be no pressure or guilt coming from me. I will use no other modern Bibles or authors, and there are certainly not going to be any trips to the Greek or Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons to try to make a verse say something when in all actuality that isn't what it's saying at all. A false teaching is simply a teaching from the Bible that is being applied to the wrong dispensation. It's that simple, folks. Rightly dividing the word of truth clears up all supposed contradictions and common confusion that we hear from today's modern Christian pulpits that are full of Bible correctors and corruptors. During this program, you will hear the simplicity that is in Christ from the simplicity of a rightly divided King James 1611 Bible. It really is a Bible that is simple enough for us all to understand, even including our kids way down to fifth grade. This is an understanding that we can have totally, and on our own, if need be. Paul calls it the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Looking to the teachings of the risen Savior as given to Paul, and then to us, we can learn the way of God more perfectly through a rightly divided King James 1611 Bible. So today's program, number 35 in our series of The Goodness of God, we're looking at how he wants the church to be. This is totally set up on his goodness, without a doubt. If we go to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll see what he's looking to when it comes to the church today. Now, the last couple of programs, we looked at the beginning of the church, Matthew 16. We looked at the early church, Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at the church designed for the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 4. And then in the future program, we will look at churches, plural. We will look at the local assembly, and we will see what it is that God would have go on within that local assembly. What's important to recognize in the Gentile church is to understand the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, which was Old Testament design, the physical kingdom, physical buildings, physical things taking place, and those things that you would see would be pleasing to God if it was based on the teachings of the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament, through the law, and or during the Gospels of what Jesus taught to the Jews. You know, I keep harboring on that, and I don't know why I should have to, because it is as simple as possibly can be. King James Bible, been around for 400 years or plus. It worked fine. We had much better standards, much better morals grew in the world wherever that King James Bible was being emphasized and glorified as such, and used and believed. And to realize that Jesus went to the Jews for his teachings on the earth, and the risen Jesus went to the Gentiles through Paul, I'll have to talk about that one of these days. It was not a big issue years ago. There's a reason we have to so emphasize Paul's teachings today. Didn't have to used to do that. It was as common as understood as they read from the Bible from the beginning to the end. Very understandable. Something came along, and someone came along, and changed the whole thing. So today we have to emphasize, really push hard, to get people to realize the difference. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, works and faith, Jews, Gentiles. So today, program 35, we're going to look at the Gentile church. Ephesians chapter 4. Go down to verse 11. Now notice the grammar is still important. And he gave some, pause, that's what a comma does, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers has no comma, has the word and. So they're both together. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go to verse 12. And here's why. Here's the purpose of the Gentile church. Remember, the church is the body of Christ. That's what we're going to talk about today. We are not talking about local assemblies at this point. We will soon do that. And what we're talking about amongst us as the church, the Christians, the saved people throughout the world, the Gentiles, yes, what we have to be doing as a Christian, as we are the church, is patterned into a local assembly. That's fine. But just remember, it's not that local assembly, it's not the denomination, it's not the building that the gates of hell will not prevail against. If a person has anything to do with his eyes being open, he sees that the gates of hell have gotten involved with the church, the local churches. We have denominations all over the place. We have fights and squabbles. We have all sorts of things going on. The standards have changed. The music has changed. The sermons have changed. The pastors have changed. It goes on. So, locally, it's a mess. But spiritually, kingdom of God, we will talk about the body of Christ today being the church. So Ephesians chapter 4, so he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Here we go. For the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's the three purposes that a pastor has, a teacher has, an evangelist if he's preaching the Paul message. Prophets, those would be the Old Testament days. Those would be the days when they had no Bible. Apostles, plural, goes back to the gospel days. So that's why it says, and he gave some apostles, none today, other than Paul. And some prophets, none today, because of a King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. I'll talk about that verse one of these days. And some evangelists, like I said, if they're teaching and preaching the Word of God of King James Bible and looking to Paul. I know few evangelists that are doing that, very few. Actually, I know of none, but there must be a few out there. And some, that would be us today, pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of saints. Now remember, perfecting is not making us sinningless. For the perfecting is to help us grow, help us be more finished, more completed. Remember, our soul is taken care of. Our flesh can still do the right thing. And it can still do the wrong thing. It's our choice. Now, we're not bound by that. It's our choice. So when we do the works we do, the works will be judged, judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we will be perfected if we're willing to learn. We'll be more complete. We'll grow as a Christian, which you'll see in a minute. Okay, so there's one of the purposes of the church today. That's one of the things that needs to take place in our lives as we are the church. Okay? For the work of the ministry. Well, what is the work of the ministry? Well, Paul's the apostle. Paul will teach us through his manner of life and through his teachings. His way should be taught in every church. Paul's doctrine, etc., etc. That should be taking place within a ministry, and that ministry ministers Paul's teachings. Okay, so that's what takes place. Help somebody do this, help somebody do that, be there for somebody else, offer somebody some money, offer somebody some time. It's all part of the ministry. But it's Paul's ministry. Paul's our minister, Ephesians, which we'll see. And then lastly, for the edifying, you know, the growth, the teaching, the uplifting, the encouragement, teaching of the body of Christ. Who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ, which you will see in a few minutes. Okay? So those are the three things. Now, till we come in the unity of the faith. Okay? So there's one thing. And the knowledge of the Son of God. Where do we hear about the knowledge of the Son of God? From a King James Bible. It's all about the risen Savior. We can learn about Jesus on this earth to the Jews, and we need to learn those things. We don't ignore the Gospels. They're there for us, but they're not there to us. So continuing the knowledge of the Son of God, that's the risen Savior, King James Bible, reading to Paul. Unto a perfect man, there we go, growing again, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, if Christ is in us, our lives ought to reflect that, don't you suppose? Okay. Continues. Remember, Paul writes some long sentences in Ephesians. That we henceforth, in other words, from now on, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now let's go back to that verse again. This is a fantastic definition of children. And when a parent says, well, we'll just let our children decide what they want. We'll let them pick their religion. We'll let them pick their belief. We'll let them choose their music. We'll let them pick their friends. That kind of stuff. Because you know what it was like when you were a kid and you couldn't do things and you were pretty unhappy with that kind of a life. So you don't want your children to have the same thing. But we have to remember, children are tossed to and fro. They're carried about with every wind of doctrine. I mean, if one child goes to Grandma A, that child spends a lot of time with Grandma A, then that child will start living like Grandma A. But if that child goes to Grandma or Grandpa B, and it's a different kind of, well, they stay there long enough, they'll be living like Grandpa and Grandma B. Or if the children go off to be with a divorced mother, they'll go along mother's ways for a while, and when they get to go visit dad, they'll go the dad's ways a while. They don't know what to do. The children, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Kids don't know the difference. They go with the flow. Now we have to remember this, by the sleight of men, Grandpa and Grandma are not trying to sneak and cheat your children. The wife and the husband, there may be some concern in there from the parents trying to teach their kids their particular stuff. But this is worse. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In this context, we're looking at people today, adults, who have no clue. They don't know what church, what's the definition of church? Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. When did the church begin? A Baptist denomination, Catholic denomination. You got all these different people on the radio teaching different things. Oh, what do we do? What is going on here? It's just confusion. It's a mess. It really is. I mean, I don't blame people for not wanting to have anything to do with God, because how do they know what's going on here? Well, Paul goes back to verse 13. The ministry of the church, that's us, in the Gentile days, the dispensation of grace, is to edify the body of Christ. Who's in the body of Christ? We'll show you that in a few minutes. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. Not in the unity of our faith, the faith. What is the faith? We've talked about that. The faith of Jesus Christ. If we all follow the faith of Jesus Christ, it'll be Gentile doctrine through Paul from the risen Savior, King James Bible. That's unity. So if somebody in any radio program or any answer man or anybody that wants to criticize and cut up the King James Bible or teach something that's not in the King James Bible or teach something that is in the King James Bible, just the wrong dispensation, or if they want to teach something in a different Bible or if they want to teach something with no Bible, if they just want to follow the feeling of their music and it feels good, you know, all this kind of stuff, you are being tossed to and fro. You are being carried about with every wind of doctrine. And I'm telling you, Paul tells us, I should say this, the risen Savior tells Paul to tell us that the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, they are lying in wait to deceive. They want to mess you up and confuse you with all these different teachings and programs and whatever. They're just waiting to get you. Okay? So that's the goal of the risen Savior through Paul, through the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of saints, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, which we will see that Christ is the head of the church. What's the church? We are the church, Christians, if you're truly saved by putting your faith in Christ. Not the born-again teaching, which Jesus do you have? I mean, all sorts of different variations out there. Speaking the truth in love, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. He's talking about the body of Christ. Okay, we're all fitly packed together. We should be. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Whoa, period. Whoa, there's a period there, finally. So you go back and you read verse 11 all the way down to 16. That's your Gentile church. We are the church. That's the spiritual goals. That's the goals that the risen Savior has for us as we are the church. Verse 17. This I say, therefore. In other words, because of all that he said up here, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, there's that word, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, When he's talking about other Gentiles, he's not talking about the church of God. He's talking about the Gentiles who are not part of the church of God. This is like walking like a lost person. Now, we're going to stop here in this little section because this is another program all by itself. I'm going to be brave one of these days, and we're going to start talking about what it is that we can do in a daily life that would please God. And remember, we are the church, the Christian Gentiles, the church of God. That's the church today. And there are things that we as the church should do in our personal walk and for each other if we are the body of Christ. And we will talk about that tomorrow because many of us miss that. We miss that locality. We miss that closeness that we should be having as the body of Christ. We miss it because we're so addicted to the local church situation. Even when the local church crumbles up, people still can't depart from it because they're addicted to it. We'll come back to that later. Let's keep going here. Now, we've talked about the beginning church. We've talked about the early church in Acts chapter 2. And now we're talking about the Gentile church in Ephesians chapter 4. We have to remember that they are all the same. All three of these, they're in Christ. But the Gentile church, is after Christ died. Of course, that has to be what it is. He's fulfilled the law. He's died. And he's risen. Goes to Paul. That's the Gentile church. That's us. But this church, which is all the same in some respects, it's just different tickets to get in. In the beginning church, they had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ. And in the Great Commission, had to be baptized. In the Gentile church, body of Christ, you get in by your faith and his faith. Then we live every day by the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians talks about that. Tribulation, you'll have to obey the commandments and not take the mark. And you can be let out of that church based on your walk. Okay, let's go to Colossians 1:24, and let me show you that the Gentile church is the body of Christ, and it's the risen Savior we're talking about here. Colossians 1:24, and we'll skip all the context and everything. Those are all sermons by themselves. Go right to the verse, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church," which, by the way, verse 25, "whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God," Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3, it's just all over the place. Let's go to Ephesians 1:22. So Paul says, "in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Ephesians 1:22. Again, we'll just do the one single verse. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Well, look at that. "Put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." So he's the Christ. Look at verse 23. "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So the church is the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is a fabulous book. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, there's a whole different sermon involved in here. This is also talking about husbands and wives, Christ and the church. If a person can get the grasp on Christ and the church, then he can get the grasp on being the husband and the wife, and the wife can understand her place, and the husband can understand his place, Christ and the church. Oh, there's so many sermons in that little section in there. But let's just go to the basis here, the fact that the body of Christ is the church. Not the local church, the church. Body of Christ. Those are part of his body. Let's read on. Verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing." Now, is that the description of the local assemblies in your town? We've always had so many problems and bickerings and things going on in there, and this is a body of Christ we're talking about here. The gates of hell will not prevail against the body of Christ. Why not? Because it's the body of Christ. Spiritual, kingdom of God. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's us, because we're part of the body of Christ, you'll see. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we, here we go, this is the verse. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And then skipping down to 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, if we were to take the time, which we can't do here, and we look at the church, the body of Christ, and what Christ did for the church, and how he handles the church, and how he talks to the church, King James Bible rightly divided Paul's teachings, dispensation of grace, etc., etc., then a husband can learn how to love his wife. And the same thing with the church, which is subject to Christ, the wife, oh boy, what a comparison. Look at the local churches that claim to be part of Christ. Look at the mess they're in. Look at how they're abusing the liberty in Christ. Look at how they're abusing their responsibility. Can the same thing be said about the ladies today? Though we have to be careful, because when a man starts criticizing the wife, that she's supposed to be like the church, etc., etc., do you even know what the church is supposed to be like under Christ? And are you being the Christ in her life? And then the question gets to be asked to the ladies, are you allowing him to be Christ in your life? Or are you reading that book about how women can manipulate their husbands and make them think they're the head of the household, etc., etc.? We have different Bibles that say different things of what Christ supposedly said. Is that what women are doing? They're looking to all these different teachings to find out what they think they should be doing as a Christian. Remember the desire of women is to, yeah, remember that? Genesis chapter 3. But what about the men? We're supposed to be like Christ to our wives. Another sermon there. Let's keep going here. So we're the body of Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Is it a mystery? Not through Paul. Bunny trail, all the mysteries that pastors teach as mysteries, they are all explained in Paul's writings. Okay, off that bunny trail. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. This is something some folks need to learn out there. When they say that the church, the Gentile church, being part of the body of Christ, only started after Paul. Well, let's go look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. Pretty good verses right here. Galatians 1, 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. That was Paul. So he's saying the church of God, that's the church of God. You see what I'm saying? He considered them the church of God before he came along. Well, you're kind of stretching that one. Okay, well, let's go to Acts chapter 26. Let's go to Acts chapter 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is Paul's testimony of what he was like before he met the Lord on the road. He's telling Agrippa here what it was like before. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compel them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even in strange cities. Well, is he talking about the Jews and the ones that have learned to follow the risen Savior? Yeah, because he hasn't gone on to the Gentiles yet. And yet we notice in Galatians 1:13, he called them the body of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Look at Romans 16. So Paul is saying the church of God existed before Paul's ministry came along. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Paul is not where it started. There's a change from Acts chapter 2 to Ephesians chapter 4. And that's when you read the book of Acts. Acts is not there for a doctrine of the book. Acts is to show that the change from Paul going to the Jews and the Gentiles, and then finally just to the Gentiles. So that Gentile church, the body of Christ, which we are during the dispensation of grace, What Paul teaches, that's what we should be looking to. But we don't need to make a Paul-designed denomination based on the argument of, did the body of Christ begin in chapter 2, in chapter 8, chapter 13, chapter 28, and then spend their whole ministry talking about that? The church began in Matthew chapter 16. The early church was Acts chapter 2. The Gentile church is through Paul. But people were in Christ before Paul. It was the church of God before Paul. So really, is that worth a huge amount of study and digging and arguing over? No. Now, quickly here, run out of time. Let's take a quick check. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto our God. As we are members of the body of Christ, that is our job, is to bring forth fruit unto God. Seems like most Christians today, quote-unquote, want to bring forth fruit to themselves and their own glory. But we're supposed to be bringing that fruit unto God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Down in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So see, we are members of the body of Christ, and he is in us. Now let's close this off here. Romans chapter 12 is a great verse here. In verse 5, Romans 12, 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Then we see in verse 6, Bunny Trail, having then gifts differing according to the grace. These are the gifts that we should be looking to during the dispensation of grace, not the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by the way. We'll talk about gifts one of these days. Well, why would Paul teach about the gifts in Corinthians versus the gifts in Romans chapter 12? Wouldn't they all be his gifts? No, we'll talk about that. I'll get you through that. Well, like always, we're out of time. And I hope I said everything clear enough for you to understand the beginning church, the early church, and the Gentile church. Who was in Christ? We are members of the body of Christ. So the church today is us, the church. Now tomorrow we'll talk about churches, plural. So there's something that we can be dealing with when it comes to the local groups. We'll talk to you tomorrow.